hear that I'm still recovering from my cough. But really appreciate your prayers, especially last week when you were praying for me. I wasn't coughing a bit at all when I was preaching. But I was suffering the whole night after that, right? I was coughing out my lungs practically. But really, we really appreciate your prayers, especially for me and Joanne. But also continue to pray for Pastor Jeremy. I have a good chat with him this week. As some of you may not know, he has an infection of both his ears and he has affected his hearing. So for the next few weeks, he needs to recover. And so he was telling me that he's on the way, but still take a bit of time for him to heal because it's very painful for him. So maybe we can help him by turning down our worship next few weeks. He has what we call old years now. Eh? All right, but seriously, I've been reflecting for a while. For the past few weeks, I realized that I've been having conversation with different people in First Light about dealing with difficult people. And so today my sermon is how to deal with difficult people, right? And everyone of us has experienced difficult people in our lives, I assume. If you have never met anyone difficult in your life, most likely you are a difficult person. Okay, so let's settle that. But really, some of us really encounter difficult people. But what we really need to bear in mind, often what we think as difficult people are what I say, first world inconveniences. Okay? Difficult people most of the time are what I call first world inconveniences. What do I mean by that? Number one, age gap. Everyone of us who is in a family, we will agree there is a difficult person in our family. If you do not know the person, most likely you are the one. Right, and most time it is could be a generational gap, right, between parents and children, between children and their grandparents. There could be an age gap, generation gap, expectation. Just like when I was growing up, the word wicked means extremely bad. But one generation later, the word wicked means extremely good, right? So that is a generational thing. So when someone says that is a wicked person, depends who you're talking to. So one person will think, oh, that's a very bad person. The other person, oh, that's a marvelous person. That depends as well. So sometimes it has to do with generation gap. Sometimes it has to do with cross-culture, especially living in Perth, being multinational, multi-diverse languages and people. Sometimes it has to do with cross-cultural understanding. Some culture, right, especially those on the West, we are more confrontational. We dare to speak our mind. We dare to just bring the truth out in a sense. But in some culture, we avoid. Right? We are pretty passive-aggressive. We go one whole long way just to tell you something that you make us uncomfortable. But that is not the first thing we say. We'll spend 3 hours talking to you about everything, but the last minute, hey, you made me uncomfortable. Bye-bye. Right, so that is a problem. That sometimes some of us are in a situation where people are more upfront with how they feel. Sometimes some of us are avoidance. We don't want to get into trouble. But then the third kind is what I call workplace culture. And workplace culture sometimes can be difficult because you're working with people with different experiences, different responsibility, and sometimes workplace can be toxic itself. But all I say that whether we meet people who have different age gap from us or different culture from us or work culture, most of the time I will say these are first world inconveniences. We meet people who may not be difficult, but they are just different from us. So in one sense, they don't get us, we don't get them. Right, so one time I went to the bank, I was having a problem with my card. And I was actually going in, I was quite flustered because I was going to pay for something, So I went to the bank and I started speaking to the girl in Singlish. This card not working, how? And the person, what are you talking about? Please slow down, sir. Oh, excuse me. I was having a problem using my card. Can you please help me? Oh, sure. You know, that kind of thing. And most time is people are not difficult. They just don't get us. And we don't get them. But the truth is this, is all of us at one time or another have been the difficult person to someone as well. But the issue here today is for us to bear in mind, in life, there are truly some difficult people. They move past what we call first world inconveniences. They are not just age gap or cross-cultural or work culture situation. They are difficult. And toxic people are difficult people. But not all difficult people are toxic people. What is the difference? Number one, difficult people are just like the rest of us. They are broken in some ways. And like us, they have unfinished stories. God is still working in their life. And they are difficult sometimes because they're going through a hard time, they're going through something painful, and they always come crying to us, or sometimes they don't seem to be themselves. And here you are listening to them patiently, trying to help them, but somehow whatever solution you offer them don't seem to be helping them. They will tell you, I thought of it already, but you can't help me. And sometimes they are just difficult because they have not come to a certain sense of understanding their need for healing, or they're going through this whole process of finding closure or recovering from a trauma. And that is so-called like all of us. But some people are beyond difficult. They are toxic people. What's the difference? Toxic people seek to diminish us. They look for opportunity to tear us down. They don't like us, full stop. And they find every means possible to really, you know, go after us, affect us one way or another, and destroy our morale. Difficult people, we must have understanding. But toxic people, the best thing is stay away from them. But sometimes we can't. But whether we meet difficult people or toxic people, I think what is important is it is not for us to change them. We can't change any person. It is always the work of God. But there's something we can learn in life to deal with this kind of situation. And today, the passage I want us to focus on is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 14 to 15. And let us look at the text. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Now, in context, when Peter was writing this to the Christian, he was not talking about workplace situation. He was not talking about meeting just difficult people or toxic people per se. The church at the time was going through persecution. Right? They were going through a lot of hard time. They have lost their houses. Some of them have been falsely accused. They have been thrown into prison. So the Christians at the time were very vulnerable people. Not only they were facing persecution, but they were subject to a lot of public accusation. And being a Christian at that time, in that history, was not a fun thing to do in that sense. But Peter began to write to encourage the church. And it's something that you and I can glean from this text, how we can apply some of these principles in which we can help us to deal with difficult people. First, he says, what did Peter say? Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult. It means don't retaliate. Do you believe no matter how much pain you go through in life, how much suffering you go through in life, the grace of God is always with you? That means no matter how bad the situation is for you and I, we can always rest on the grace of God to see us through seasons of difficulty that we can overcome. First and foremost, always lean on Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we Christians are a very peculiar group of people. Let me tell you why. Someone has been extremely difficult towards you. Right? And your heart is full of anger. You are very frustrated. But then at the same time, you say, oh, I shouldn't think that way. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't think that way. Have you ever caught in that way? Right? What I'm telling you is that is normal, right? It's because sometimes we are reacting to the circumstances or we are reacting to the person, but at the same time, sometimes we realize, hey, I should not be thinking that way. But instead of feeling condemned or feeling that, oh, as a Christian, I shouldn't be thinking that way, it is okay to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. One lesson I learned in life is difficult people are the best teachers of our lives. Difficult people are the best teachers of our life. If it was not for difficult people, I'll tell you, I do not know how dark my heart is. I didn't know I have a capacity to plot vengeance. I didn't know I have such scheming ideas in my head. I'm going to make that person pay. Oh, they are my best teachers. But at the same time, we must lean on the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us. Difficult people will always exist, but how we choose to respond to them can make all the difference. I remember one time when I was working in Singapore as a pastor, the head of department, okay, my president sent me to a church where there was a leader who has been nicknamed by all the pastor as the pastor killer. Okay, by the very fact, you all know, this guy is out to kill pastors. No pastor lasted in his church for a long time. But he was a very smooth leader. He never do anything bad towards you. He got all his henchmen. But you always know that he is a guy behind the scene, you know, that kind. But he looks very good. He come to church, he will hug you, give you a holy hug, you know, find soft spot for him to stab you, that kind of thing. And I was stand there, right? And so most of the pastor will say, I do not know how long going to last there, Richard. I say, neither do I. But I begin to realize, even in those years, and this is something I want to teach you, all of you. Everywhere you go, especially you work in a whole new place, or you go to a place you're unfamiliar, always ask God to give you a prophetic word for everybody you see. And that's how, all these years, as your pastor, I always have prophetic word for every one of you because I've been praying. I understand where the Lord is leading you, the season of your life. And especially you go to a new place, always ask God for a prophetic word for every person you see, whether that person is your colleague, person is your head of department, your boss, whatever it is, or even your customers, your client. Always ask God for a prophetic word. And so Pastor Killer was up doing all his maneuvering, trying to get rid of me. And I was praying, Lord, give me a prophetic word. Right? And one day the Lord gave me a prophetic word. I called him into my office. I said to him, well, honestly, you have this reputation as the pastor killer. He said, no lah. He said, but the thing is this, I've been praying for you. And I realized one thing. Actually, the Lord has called you into the ministry. He was shocked. In fact, you're very qualified. You know, you speak well, you lead well, and in fact, you're much more qualified than I am. He said, yeah. I said, ah. That's why all these years, you're out to kill pastors because you think you're better than them. He was shocked. But I say that, you know what's the difference between me and you? You are gifted, I'm not so gifted. But the difference is this, I will tell you, I am anointed. And he was looking at me and said, you know why? People like us may not be gifted, may not be as eloquent, but because we obey the Lord, His anointing rests on us. And as we continue to obey, He increases our anointing. I say, come on, Pastor Killer, give me time. I will not be only as eloquent as you. I'll be much better than you. So he looked at me. So what do you want me to do? You want me to step down from leadership? He said, no. I want you to go to Bible school. I want you to become a pastor. Because this is not your calling. Go and fulfill your calling. And a while later, I successfully complete my tour of duty in that church, and I was so-called promoted to a bigger church, right? Now, years later, that guy actually sent me an email. I have listened to you, I went to Bible school, and now I graduated, I'm becoming a pastor, amen? Do not repay evil with evil, insult with insult. It is learning to discern what God is saying about a person. As I say, sometimes people are difficult. They are not. They are just different from us. But they are truly toxic people. And when toxic people listen to the Holy Spirit, He will give you a check in your spirit. But the next thing here Peter says to us is, what do we do? We do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but rather we repay evil with good. Because he says, to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, when Peter says repay, in the Greek term, actually it's a commandment. He was telling the believer, I am commanding you to always repay evil with good. It's a command from the apostle. It's not just a suggestion. It is a command to the church. Because he says, it is to your own advantage to overcome evil with good. And the Bible tells us of someone like Joseph. Joseph was ill-treated by his brothers, remember? And how he was sold to Egypt. And later, years later, you know, when his brothers stood before him, they were fearful. They were fearful that Joseph was going to exact his vengeance. But Joseph assures them that what you did to me was evil. Joseph never means his word. But God has done it for my good and for your good. God has done it as an advantage for us because of what you had done foolishly. God has preserved our household. Sometimes, it is because of difficult people that we end up getting our reward. Amen, John. That was his story just now. He didn't want to share this message today. How he was forced by circumstances to leave his company, but then the Lord has opened opportunity for him to prosper elsewhere. Look at the life of Paul. If it's not for difficult people in his life, Paul would not end up with a free passage, a cruise to Rome. Because he was prophesied 4 years ago, right? By the Holy Spirit, that one day you appear before the emperor, and here was Paul. He didn't know how he's going to end up facing the emperor, but circumstances had led him through persecution, through accusation. By the end of the day, if it's not for the difficult people, Paul would not have fulfilled his destiny. Sometimes I always tell Joanne, once in a while, I'm tempted to write a thank you letter to those difficult people in my life. Thank you. Honestly, without you, I wouldn't be where I am today. I prosper because of you. Hallelujah. Right. But Joanne said, don't be cheeky. Right. Okay. And this reminded me of preparing this sermon today about don't repay evil with evil. Now, it may be shocking to you, I was not always so tall, dark, and handsome. When I was in primary school, St. Stephen's school days, St. Stephen Primary School, I was a small size, very small size, right? And I was a victim of bullying. There was this guy who liked to hide behind every corner, every tree, and he would find opportunity to come and punch me. Right, somebody on my head, somebody on my neck, somebody on my back. You know, he would just punch me, and then he would run away. Because I got stubby legs, I cannot outrun him, right? I cannot chase after him. But I was full with fear. Going to school wasn't fun at all. Every day, somehow, no matter how careful I was, he would come and give me a punch. And that was like my reward for the day. And you know, until the punch happened, you're always fearful. You get me? There's this sense of brooding intimidation. You just wish the punch will come early, like 7:30 before the school bell rang, right? But then you are waiting and waiting, and recess time, it didn't happen. Now you're worried, right? Because come to the change of classes, you're walking. You do not know where this guy will come and punch you. You'd rather get punched right early in the morning and get over done with. That's how a victim sometimes we play ourselves. We put ourselves in a place of being intimidated. But I was a very good boy in school. I was rather popular. So my classmates saw what was happening, but I didn't dare to complain at all. Right? I didn't dare to complain at all. So one day, Mr. Bully was out to ready to punch me, and six of my classmates was ready to pound on him. Actually, they captured him. Like they ran faster than I could. They caught him and brought him to the principal's office. Long story cut short, principal came to the class, right, and all these boys were there, and he called me out. He said, was this guy been bullying you? I said, oh, yes, for a while, sir. So he said, where did he punch you? I said, here, where else, here, where else, here, I'm pointing every part. Now, what he was going to do next is something was is not going to be done in Australian school, believe you me, right? We were born of robust days. Not like today. You know what Principal said to me? All right. I give you permission to punch him anywhere above the waist. Just give it to him. Wow. Here was my principal egging me to punch that boy. And I had permission, and I know I won't get punished. And I was ready. And you can see that bully was like getting ready, like flinching to get ready to get the worst. And I came and actually gave him a hug. And he was shocked. And he was shocked. He burst out crying. But do you know this story went around the whole school, that for the rest of my school life, I never got bullied again. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes God can engineer or God can bring us to a situation, right, to deal with difficult people, not our way. Because most of the time, our way, I will tell you the truth, are the fleshy way. Okay, it's a fleshy way. But the truth is, not every effort at loving difficult people, like my story, will have a cheerful end. Okay, not every time you do good, you think it's going to work out good, right? Not so sometimes. Sometimes they don't appreciate what you're doing. But the truth is this, we don't love people in hopes of a happy ending. We love them because it is the right thing to do. Right? And this is important. And the next thing Peter tells us is, even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Remember, Jesus said to us, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Loving difficult people is not so much about them sometimes. It's about you and God. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not the other person. It's whether the person deserves or don't deserve. Is I want my walk with God to be clean. I want my walk with God to be holy. I want my walk with God to be right. And God has given me through His Word what are the some things I can be right with Him. And one of the things He said is to love my enemies. You know, to love them. So sometimes, no matter how challenging it is to do good, pray for them. Because end of the day is about us wanting to please God. And here, there's a promise of a blessing. Here, to the Christians at that time, they were facing persecution, remember? In fact, the early church went through 300 years of persecution. That they hide themselves in caves. They hide themselves in catacombs because the persecution on them was great. They not only lost their properties, they even lost their life. But somehow, 200-300 years later, Rome went through a terrible plague. And the plague was so great that people were leaving their loved ones because it was spreading so, now it's worse than COVID. And so it was spreading and people were dying. Many of the people just left their loved ones behind to run away to safer places. The Christians were the only one who continue to stay in the city, and they're the one who take care of the sick and they buried the dying. The date, in a sense. And so over that season, many of the Christians who stayed in that plague-ridden place, they themselves also were succumbed to their sickness themselves. But because of the generosity, because of the compassion of the Christian, within one generation, the whole Roman Empire was Christianized. 300 years of persecution, a season of just caring for the sick, just changed the whole season for Christendom, in a sense. I think we can learn this ourselves, is that, you know, is to pray for them, is to bless them. Because here, the word, there is a promise here. If we will bless those who do wrong against us, we receive a blessing. Many times, this is where we should be at as believers. We may not be able to bless them when they do us wrong. But it is a process. Say, Lord, give me a word for that person. Why is this person not so mean towards me, but why is this person so mean? And sometimes God can open up your spiritual eyes. He can show you things about that person that help you to speak life into that situation. And given the opportunity, just like I did with the pastor killer, I speak the truth. I think the problem with us Christians is sometimes we are just too nice. How many of you are nice people? Let me tell you, let me set you free. Bible never called us to be nice. There is no commandment in the scripture, be nice. But there is a commandment, is be kind to one another. Please make the distinction between being nice and being kind. I'm not nice, but I'm kind. You know, kind people are very polite. They always smile at you. They're always very polite, say the right thing. But they always got dagger. You know? They always think bad about you somehow, but they are very nice. All right, think about it. Have you not considered some of the people who betray you were among the nicest people in your life? Come on, people. I speak truth here, right? All right, because I counsel many of you. Say, I didn't expect that person. Oh, the person betrayed me is that person. I never expected it because that person was nice. But we have to be kind. Kind is about caring for that person. It's caring about that person's destiny. That's why when we pray prophetically for someone, when we ask God for prophetic word, we are asking God to give us revelation of the about the potentials, about the possibility of that person. Sometimes we may not be the one delivering the word, but we can pray that word into that person. We are pulling God's preferred future for that person. Because most time I tell you, difficult people know they are difficult. Toxic people know they are toxic. But they don't have the power to change. Only God can bring that change. But what if you are the one who have been praying for them? As I say, you don't have to be nice to them. Be kind. Pray for them. Do good to them. Okay, don't send them a box of chocolate. You don't feel like it. That's too expensive. Prayer is free. All right, just pray. Pray. Pray some more. I don't feel like it. Pray again. Pray and then you enjoy praying and blessing that person. Because he said that, why? You also receive a blessing. Because you know why? When we go through difficult time, is that people, difficult people are the ones who teach us the most important lessons in life. They teach us how to have good conflict resolution. They teach us resilience. They teach us courage. They teach us how to run, but you know you can't win. But the truth is this. I read this quote say, difficult people are like sandpaper. They may scratch and irritate you, but in the end, you are polished and smooth. Right? Don't take difficult people as God's punishment. They're not sent to scourge you. You have not done something wrong that God is using some difficult people to punish you. But sometimes God allowed those difficult situations to grow you, to help you, to mold and shape your character. And this is what happened to Joseph. When he was 14 years old, he knew God has called him to be one day be the savior of his generation. But what was happening was this. There was nothing wrong with his calling. But there was everything wrong with his attitude and his character. That's why the psalm says that until God's word came to pass, the word of God tested Joseph. The word tested means refining. That means where God has something for you, where there is a prophetic word over your own life, God has to refine your character. God has to shape and mold you until you are ready to fulfill what you are called to fulfill. And sometimes God will send encouragers, like Paul has Barnabas who encouraged him. But Paul's life, if you track his whole life history through Acts of the Apostle, many times he landed where he was because of difficult people. It was not just the family of men and women of God who supported him in ministry, but those who really challenged him, shaped him. That's why you look at Paul, he was actually, if you read his life, he's quite a hard-hearted person to begin with, right? But over the years, you read until Timothy, his last letter, he became such a malleable, such a gentle person because God has refined him and shaped him. And then he began to say that God has delivered me from every situation because of his kindness. The thing is this, when you are going through this time of testing, this time of pain, Peter also said to us, don't get intimidated. He says, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Now, as I said, intimidation is something worse than the actual attack. Just like the guy was up to box me every morning, right? The intimidation, that fear is always brooding because you just can't get over it. That's called the spirit of intimidation. And God says he doesn't want us to operate under intimidation. So he says, do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. You know, I met a missionary many years ago. He was serving God in Ethiopia in the 1980s. If you know history, Ethiopia at that time was a communist country. And Ethiopia is a pretty dry land. So he said he was ministering in the outskirts in some small little village. And what happened was this, is that a communist general came and find him and realized he was a Christian missionary. And so he took out his pistol and pointed at his head. He said, I want you to leave this place by tonight. If not, I'm here to kill, I'll come back to kill you. And then he went to his jeep and drove. So this was telling me that, do you know that the place is so dry, you can see miles and miles of dry sand. But there's one tree standing there in that desert. Only one tree. An acacia tree had been there for hundreds of years. And this man, after making his threat, went to his jeep. And the jeep somehow steered and hit that tree and the general was injured. He said, I cannot explain. There was so big a piece of land. There was no other tree. How did this guy jeep can end up hitting that tree? To him, he said, I saw the hands of God deliver me. There are times God will deliver us from our persecutors. But there are times God wants us to go through some of these things. If you are going through a situation in your workplace or in your school, I'll tell you one thing. Please exercise your right. Say something to someone. Speak up, okay? Sometimes we may say, oh, I don't cause trouble. Look, if you are suffering intimidation or bullying, you should not be afraid of causing trouble. Because when you don't want to speak up, you are actually devaluing yourself. You get what I'm saying? If it's within your right to speak up, speak up. Don't play the victim. Right, so like in the situation, let's say, you know, if there's sexual abuse or sexual misconduct, like if it happens here, we know what to do as leaders. We will go straight to the authorities because there's no two ways about it. Right, there's no two ways about it. If you are going through a situation where you are suffering intimidation, please go and seek help. Don't suffer silently. Don't say, I don't want to cause trouble. Sometimes that is a disguised word of, actually, I don't respect myself. I don't value myself. But same time, sometimes we need to have healthy boundaries. Some of you may know, many years ago, we have a certain person who came to church with mental health problem. And she would go around telling people that I stolen her anointing. Like someone used to remember that person. So say, oh, pastor stole my anointing. Thank God, First Light is filled with mature people. Say, oh no, pastor cannot steal an anointing. Right? Anointing is all from Holy Spirit kind of thing. But she would go around telling people that. And I felt it was hard for me to minister to her as her pastor. And so I gathered a few good leaders. I say, look, I need to create a healthy boundary. I cannot minister to this person because it will go pear-shaped. Because every time I do some things to be helpful, I get a lot of accusation. So please, for the sake of my own mental health, for the sake of the community, I need you leaders to come alongside to take care of this person, giving this person the adequate pastoral care the person deserves. And a while later, this person left the church. I never saw this person until last year. Somehow we were at a conference and she saw me, she sat next to me and said, Pastor Richard. I said, oh dear. Okay, my fear all came out. I say, now I'm not in my own territory, you know, where are my leaders, where I need them, kind of thing, right? And the first thing she said that, I am cured. And I didn't want to apologize to you for saying all those mean things. You never stole my anointing. Whew. And we just hug, we pray, you know. Sometimes, situation will come, but God will bring restoration. Sometimes situation will come, God will bring that sense of you knowing that you've done all things possible. But the thing is this, here was Peter closing with this. Whatever happens to us, he says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have done all things possible, let me tell you this. If you've done all things possible, sometimes you can't run away from that difficult person. You do not know how to handle it. Can you just worship the Lord? Just worship the Lord. Just keep on worshiping the Lord. Because when you stand before Him, I will tell you one thing. He will give you the grace. He will give you the strength. Sometimes He will give you the strategy. But sometimes even there's no word from the Lord. Sometimes there's no sense of what He's trying to bring that to a closure. Know that God is for you. Who can be against you? And that's why in Hebrew was writing to Christians who were going through persecution as well. It says in chapter 13, you know, here was the writer saying, chapter 13, verse 5, quoting from the scripture from the Psalms, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let us all rise at this time. I just want to pray for all of you. If you are going through this hard season right now of difficult people in your life, Father, I just want to pray right now for everyone who is going through this situation or they've been scarred by that situation. But Father, I break victimhood over their life. I break any sense of them devaluing themselves, thinking they deserve it. No, they don't, Lord. But Lord, I just pray you be their preserver, you be their defender, you be their shield, you be their protector. Their Father, I pray you give them a good testimony of faith, build not only courage or boldness, but give them resilience. Because Father, no matter what, your purpose in my brother's life, in my sister's life, will never be thwarted by what man can do. But Father, I just pray that you give us grace, that Lord, help us to bless those who have harmed us. Help us to love those who have persecuted us. But Lord, even as we know we can't do it right now, we rest on your grace. We rest on your kindness and your mercy, because in you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen.